Well, good evening, young people. Oh dear, not even the kids this morning had a better welcome. It's Mr. C. Good evening, young people.
Good evening, Mr. C.
Evening, adults.
Good evening, Mr. C.
Did you have your wee sleep this afternoon? It's lovely to be here. I have thoroughly enjoyed it and be greatly encouraged. It was my privilege for about 22 years to be youth leader. Now, you mightn't believe I was a young person, but I'll give you a wee clue. There's a lady in here called Laura, and her and I grew up together, so we're about the same age. We played together as kids about 20 years ago, so it's a joy to be here, and it was difficult to know what to speak about until I got an inspiration just a few days ago. But it's nice to be here. Jean and Janet, thank you very much for playing, for the boys strumming, and it was great to hear the three tenors in the background here. I want you to picture an assembly of people. Now, certainly much bigger than what's in this church. And as the preacher entered the pulpit, they all stood up. I said, as the preacher entered the pulpit, they all stood up. Thank you. The only lady stood up. I'm not going to ask you to do it because, you see, he preached so long. They stood up and they stood from morning to noon. Now, what would you think of the preacher and that, the pastor standing up and preaching from morning to noon? But it actually did happen. And it happened because someone said to them, bring out the Word of God and read it. Now, when I read this, I found out that there were men and women and young people and children. And some of the children couldn't understand the Word of God, so they had somebody to explain it. So maybe that's why it took them from morning to noon. So I thought tonight what we would do, we'd bring out the Word of God and we would have a look at it and let the Word of God speak to us and see what it has to say. So has anybody got a Bible with them tonight? Right, has anybody got a big Bible? I need a big Bible somewhere. Let's see how big. Hold up your Bibles and let's see how big they are. And see, any bigger Bibles than those? Any adults got a big Bible with them? Well, I suppose I'll have to bring my own one here. I've got a Bible here with me. I thought I'd bring mine with me tonight. Ah, dear. It's a good job I teach manual handling. Anybody got a bigger Bible than this one? Oh, dear. See this? Look. That's my Bible. It says, you look at that as you don't believe that. Sure you don't. Well, it says Holy Bible in it in red. Well, every Bible should be red. Oh, waken up, please. I brought my big Bible with me tonight. I think we could open up God's Word and let's look and see what it says in it, because I think it has a few things for us to learn. And just like, and by the way, you can read all about that assembly and that preacher in Nehemiah's day, chapter 8. And I thought we'd bring some things out there that we could teach the boys and girls, the young people and the adults about the Word of God. Instead of Ken Carson speaking, let the Bible speak for itself and see what it says. Because when I read my Bible, it says very often, is not my word like something? So I want to open the Word of God tonight and just look at it and see what it says on some of the things that we have. So I thought we would see what's inside here. So any day we have to think that is. How do you know it's a milk bottle? Because the shape of it, right. I was going to bring a carton because then I thought there was quite a lot of elderly people here would remember milk bottles. Sorry about that, you know. Do you also remember the ones with the big, you know, a great big top on them? Some people are nodding their head because they know what's coming. And there was a wee cardboard top on it. Do you remember those? And do you remember putting two together, you can make pom-poms? Some of you remember, all right. I thought we'd just look at that because the Bible does talk about milk. And when I read my Bible and I open my Bible, it says something very similar about this. It says, as newborn babes crave pure spiritual milk by which you may grow up in your salvation. 1 Peter 2:22. And I thought that, you know, when you were young, it was what? Milk bottles, wasn't it? You know, teaching and then was great, wasn't it? And then you got a wee bit better and you got Farley's Rusk and things like that there. You see, if it had fed you fish suppers when you were too young, it wouldn't have done. It would be no good to you. And can I speak to some of the younger Christians tonight? Whether it be an adult young Christian or a young person young Christian. When I was saved at 15, as a boy at 15, I went to the pastor and I said, I want to study God's word. I want to know all about it. And he says, Ken, well, you just have to take your time because that's over a lifetime. You see, I wanted to know everything. I wanted to grow up in my spiritual faith too quickly. And he pointed me to this verse and he says, Ken, he said, you know, the word of God is just like pure spiritual milk. You've got to read the word of God and take the easy bits first and learn them off and then delve deeper into the things that are not so easily understood. And I wonder in Nehemiah's day, was that the same thing? As they would read some of the word of God and some people wouldn't understand it and some would have to explain it. So young people or young Christians, take your time in God's word. Read the things that's easily understood as God's word, you know, as pure milk, as pure spiritual milk. Crave for it, but take your time in reading God's word and understanding it. So I thought, you know, milk would be the first thing I would think about as far as that was concerned. Now, I'm sure there are other things in God's word you'd probably, if I could just find some of these things in here and see what it says. Hard to get some of these things out, so it is. My favourite tool. Give me a hammer and I can make anything. I used to work with a fella that got and used to say to me, give me a hammer and chisel, I can make anything. God's word says in Jeremiah, my word is like a rock, a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Now, I don't know what you're like at Halloween. But on Halloween with big nuts, they were smashing big nuts, you see, and you got Dad's hammer up and you had a crack at it to see if you could break them. And then they would skate away and you couldn't. Or you maybe got one that was too hard to break, you see, and you would hit the wrong nail, you know, and then you would go, oh, golly gosh. You know. So the Word of God is like a hammer breaking the rock in pieces. You've got to keep hammering and hammering and hammering until that rock breaks. I worked for Water Service, and very many years ago when they were making the Silent Valley, they couldn't break the rock until they got special splinters that was used to make the pyramids. And they kept these big splinters in these wee bits of rocks. And they constantly hammered and hammered and hammered, sometimes for days on end, until that rock actually split. And you know, it's amazing, you know, our hearts and our lives, boys and girls and young people and adults, are very like that. You know, sometimes God's word's like a hammer, and he's hammering at our lives, and he's hammering at our hearts, and we're sitting there so hard that it's like flint. I wonder, am I speaking to someone like that tonight? You've been coming to this church, or you've been coming for year on, year off, and as God's word goes forward like a hammer, your heart's so hard that it's so difficult to break down. And I hope tonight, as you've heard the young people, and as you're hearing this word here now, that God's word like a hammer would break down your resistance. And like this hard heart of yours, it might break and allow the word of God to go into your heart. Now the third one is, I can't bring a real one with me. Because it's too dangerous and my job it wouldn't be. So I brought exactly the same verse in Jeremiah. It says, and is not my word like a fire, says the Lord. And I wondered what that was all about. And I started to think about it and started to pray about it. And I couldn't get something. I thought to myself, now here's an example maybe I could use. I wonder, would you understand this? I've got two things here. I wonder what you think that is. It's a candle, isn't it? It's wick. I'm waking up, come on. What do you think that is? It's a pot. Do you know, if you put a candle into a fire, what's likely to happen to it? It melt, wouldn't it? If you put a pot into a fire, what's likely to happen? Any idea? The pot wouldn't melt. Yes, it would get hard. And you know, I was just thinking like that. God's word's a bit like that, isn't it? I'm wondering, am I speaking to someone here tonight? And before you go out of here tonight, listening to God's word, your heart will melt just like the candle in the fire of God's word, and that you'll allow him to come into your heart and into your life. I trust you won't be like this pot. The more you hear God's word, the harder your heart becomes. That's what I want to see, not that word. So as we open God's word tonight, we find that the God says, is not my word like a fire? And I hope to some it melts you like a candle, and that hardened you like a pot. Let us see what else we might have now. You know what that is?
Is it a sword?
You're brilliant, so you are. I think you should be up here instead of me. You know, like a sword. You know. I used to see some of the old films with this great big sword about 10 feet long, you know. The Roman sword wasn't like that. The Roman soldier was a fighting man, and he had a very short sword. It was a brilliant sword because not only was it fast, because he was fast, not only was it sharp, because it had to be sharp, but it was sharp on both sides. So that what you missed going forward, you managed to capture coming back. And that's the blessing about a two-edged sword. It's sharper, it's swift, it's fast. And I thought that was wonderful. And I think that, and I just got this written down because I thought it was a lovely one. In Hebrews 4 and 12, here's what it says here. The word of God is living and active, just like a sword. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And you know God's word's like that. God's word can penetrate every area of our life. It can touch our mind. It can touch our soul. It can touch our heart. It can touch our lives, you know. And God's word's like it. And I hope that God's word will do that to you tonight. And as you think about God's word, it'll get into your mind and you'll think about it. Because it was a delight to hear our young people learning Hebrews. I think this is brilliant, you know. But I want the word of God to move from your mind into your heart. You see, the Bible says that your word is living and active and penetrating, and it gets into every crevice in our lives, boys and girls, mums and dads. And I think that's wonderful. The word of God is sharp, and it's a living word, dynamic word, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I hope it gets into your hearts and into your minds as this sword would do to your body and to your soul. Now, I've got something else in here. What do you see? What else? Something for the girls. What do you think it is? It's a mirror, isn't it? You should be up here helping me, and so would he. Yeah, a mirror, you know. You know, the girls spend ages looking in the mirror, don't you? You do. Just to make sure you're all right, you know. A man can just stick his tie on and think it'll probably be all right, you know. We look in the mirror just to see what we're like, don't we? Sometimes I don't like a look of myself, even looking in the mirror, so don't you? We look in the mirror just to see what reflection we get back. It's like a camera, it only takes what's in front of it, isn't it? You know? And sometimes we don't like the look of it, and sometimes we have to do something about it. If we look in the mirror and we see something that's not right with us, then we try to put it right, don't we? And you know, God's word's a bit like that. When we look into the mirror, here's what it says as far as we're concerned. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. If the mirror tells you there's something wrong, then you change it. And God's word's like that. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says, it's like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. When we look in the mirror, we see an imperfection, we do something about it. And as we look into God's word, God's word's like a mirror. Psalm 53 says this, God looked down from heaven to see if there was anyone who did good. And it said there was no, not one. We all fall short of God's standard perfection. And as we look into God's word, we find we're sinners. As we look into God's word, we find that we're at enmity with God because of our sin. If we look into God's word, we find out that we're not good enough to get to heaven. And as we look into God's word, it tells us, you know, you have to do something about it. And I trust as we look into God's word tonight, we find that God's word's telling us to change, because it doesn't like what we look like. And I trust tonight, as before you walk out of here tonight, as you look into God's word, you see how wrong you are, and you'll change your way. Because something else maybe I have to find in here as well. I can get this out. Okay, you know what this is? It's a lamp. Anybody know what it is? I'm going to ask the elderly, not the elderly people, the older than me people, or the just as old as me people, to tell me what kind of lamp is. Now, I always get it wrong because I call it a different lamp. So what kind of a lamp is it? An oil lamp, but what, any other? Is it a hurricane lamp? Would people? That's right. See, I'm from Belfast. I wouldn't know that. I think a lamp's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Because it just shows us the way, don't you? I remember some years ago taking our young people away. And we were going out this night. They always like to go out when it's pitch dark. You see no moon. And they all had their torches. And I did a very strange thing to them. I said to them, right, what I want you to do, I want every one of you to strap your torch to your ankle. And so they strapped the torch to the ankle. And they said, what are you doing that for, Ken? I said, so you see every step of the way. You see, if you shine your torch like that, walking along, you might fall into a hole. Mightn't you? So your torch is to guide you one step at a time. And the Word of God's like that. Because here's what the Word of God said. It's a beautiful thing. It says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I think that's wonderful. Since I've accepted Christ as Savior, all my life I've been seeing God's Word as a lamp to my feet and the light to my path. You see, it doesn't tell me every step of the way all at once. It tells me just step at a time. Like the light, it shows me one step at a time, but it takes me along that path. So young people, can I say to you tonight, God's Word is like a lamp. Read it, learn it, obey it, follow it, because it's a light to your feet and a lamp to your path. And can I say that encouragement to all the people who know Jesus Christ as Savior? Use God's Word as a light to your feet and a lamp to your path. And the last thing I have for you is this. I don't know too much about this, but anybody know what's in it? Sorry? It's bird seed? Oh, it's flower seed? Yes, so it is. Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Jesus told a story one day. He said a sower or a farmer went out to sow seed. And he scattered the seed. And he said some fell by the wayside. Some on the path. You see, in those days, boys and girls and young people and moms and dads, there were hard bits in the path. There were no roads like we have. And people crossed from places to places along the outside of the field. And so when the farmer came and he scattered seed, it didn't fall into the ground. It sat above it. And of course, the hungry birds came down and picked it up and took it away. And they said, some of the seed also fell into ground. And it didn't get down into the ground very well. And what happened was, because it didn't have much of a root, then what happened when the sun came up? It scorched it and it died. And then he said some other seed that fell in, and when it started to grow, then weeds and thorns started to grow with it and started to intertwine with it. And if you had tried to take the weeds out, then you would ruin the flowers. And then Jesus said, and some fell into good ground. And it germinated, and with the rain and the sun, it grew up and it harvested. And you know, just like in Nehemiah's day, way back when Ezra started to read the Word of God, some people said, we don't understand that. Even the disciples didn't understand. And Jesus had to tell a very simple lesson to them. He said, look, the seed is the Word of God. That's what we've been thinking about. And he says, the ground is your heart and mine. Am I talking to someone here tonight with a hard heart? As God's Word is being fed tonight, and the devil's coming along and snatching it away from you, and before you go out of here, you've forgotten all you learned. And then he said, well, what about people who have just trusted Jesus? And maybe they have no root in them. They're not too happy. They're not going on with the Lord too well. And when sort of cares in the world come and the temptations and the trials come, well, what happens is they've no root and they just join their friends and go back to their old life. Is that somebody like that today? Perhaps you made a profession once. You walk with the Lord for a week, a month, a few years, and then things got a wee bit hard for you, and you started to go back. I wonder, you sitting here tonight, I hope you're not like that, and I hope you think about it. And then Jesus had to explain about the third thing. He said, well, you know, what happens was because thorns and weeds grew up among these flowers, and what actually happened to it started to choke them. You know, people are like that today. People's hearts are like that today when they hear the Word of God. The cares of the world, the things of the world, the weights of the world grow up along with them and choke them. And you know, they give up their Christian life. But the lovely thing about it is that to the farmer, he gets a good harvest. What about when the Word of God goes into our hearts, it finds an abiding place in our hearts. And through reading God's Word and God's Holy Spirit into our life, we grow and we grow and we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how much do we remember tonight? What was the first thing? Yes, but what was the first thing we brought out of the box? Yes? The milk bottle was, you know, do we desire the sincere word of the Lord? Okay, what was the second thing? Come on, you're going to have to remember it, remind me. A hammer, yes. Is your hard heart tonight? Is God trying to break into your life and make it different? Open your life, just like the candle and not the pot. Don't forget your word. The word of God is like a lamp, a light to your feet and a lamp to your path. And I hope tonight that of those seeds that are sown in, the devil doesn't come and snatch it away. That you only go along for a wee while and then you give it all up. Or the cares of this world choke you so much. I hope it's like the good seed that takes root and that germinates and you go on and on and on for the Lord. So young people and adults, open God's word. It talks to us and you'll find many other things in it. I hope as we've just opened one or two things here tonight, we've learned something about God's word. May the Lord bless you.